In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter 2, it's related that God created Adam and put him in the garden in Eden to work it and to keep it. Work is good. It maintains, it sustains life. It even gives life. By that means, life is planted. So even that work, which seems to us a toil and is toil and hurts and brings sweat to our brows and makes our knees hurt, like singing so many hymns and stanzas, crying out to the pastor to stop it. But this stuff is good. Singing is good work. It's praising God. But we don't usually think of work as good in and of itself. It's usually a means to an end. Maybe sometimes it has some good consequences. It makes you feel good. It benefits your neighbor. But the end is truly to provide for yourself and for your family. But that is not how it was intended. Adam was put in the garden to work it because God blessed him and brought him into this work of creation. Adam was part of the life that came from God. So that even then, as it is now, we have no life apart from God. We have no life, we have no good work. We have no fruit for our neighbors apart from Christ. Our Lord uses the image in John chapter 15 as he is the vine and we are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we have no life, but it is through us that life comes too. But we, having fallen into sin, having our views, our worldview, our very nature corrupted, often confuse the consequences with the person who's doing it. We often confuse the rewards that we get for our work. We often confuse that with the merit that we think we deserve. We think that we are the source, and therefore we deserve whatever we work for. But that's not the way it is in creation. That was not the way it was for Adam, nor is it for now, for you. Our Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, distributes according to his grace the good things that we receive each day. This is why we have such trouble with understanding and grasping that some have less and some have more. Some people have good health, some people have bad. We try to narrow it down, to try to measure it out. That this is a consequence of their life. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you just have bad teeth. You can brush all you want, and they're still gonna fall out. Others don't have to do a thing, it seems. From our end, it seems like that's not fair. We should be rewarded for our work. It should have good consequences every time. And if we don't, well, that makes sense that we wouldn't. Therefore, we can mock those who clearly do not have the right things or do not have as much as we do because clearly they deserved it. They didn't work hard enough. They didn't do the right thing. They weren't born in the right time and place. But it is the Lord who distributes these temporal things according to His grace, according to His choice. But it really is right, when you ask, why is this happening to me, to ask God. It is a difficult thing. It is work in and of itself to consider the consequences and the source of life. But if it is according to His grace, then what we receive is for our good. And not just for our good now, but for our good eternally. For sometimes we receive less so that we may give thanks for what we have. Sometimes we receive more so that we remember that our God overflows with abundance of goodness and life. But He also distributes because we can't live in a world that does not work on rewards for good work. We cannot survive. We can't deal with that. So then we apply the same thinking to eternal life. Therefore, if I am a good person, I will get something good from God into eternity. If I try hard enough, if I seek and pursue it, He will bless me. Even when we know that's not the way it works, we still seek to live like that because that's what we understand. That's what sin has done to our nature. That's how we view each other and ourselves. But eternal life itself is by grace. But it is not less for some and more for others. And that's where we really start to get angry at God, or at least confused. Because He makes the sun shine on the evil and the good, on the unjust and on the righteous. So when we see, according to the temporal things, the things of this world, the bad guys get good stuff and the good guys get bad stuff, we wonder why. And we get jealous and angry and envious, and it starts to eat at our love. And we can't understand that because it is not it's not about you. He's doing those things according to His good and gracious will so that all may turn to Him and give thanks and trust in Him for all things. This is why we don't use our temporal blessings as a gauge for whether you're saved or not. This is why Jesus has to say so many times, and why Paul and the epistles, the New Testament, has to say so many times that God died for all. We are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of your own doing. The blood of Christ flows down onto Hitler and onto your best friend. The mystery of why they receive it or not, well, that's a mystery in itself. But here we're speaking of and considering what God gives. That both the evil and the good are covered by the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. That both the evil and the good get good things. They are brought into this life in the first place. But we still struggle with that. We still come back to this question. Doesn't merit have anything to do with it? Shouldn't my work, if I do good work, shouldn't it be blessed? That's how we live each day. That's how we raise our children, to do good work, to do quality work, to not give up just because your strength wanes or your patience is running thin. So we continue to struggle with this mindset. And we will struggle with it until our dying breath. But as our parable teaches us, that Jesus says, did you notice who was the one going out to bring the people to work? It was the master of the house. He continued to go out, continued to call, to encourage, to admonish, but to bring them into the life of Christ and work. That work was a blessing. You were working beside those people who trusted the same word of the master. The work itself was good, regardless of the rewards, regardless of the consequences. He himself would go out and continue to call, and he does so until the very last hour of your life, of each life. He continues to call. But even that call and this salvation by grace, it really doesn't go down well. Either God is accused of being willful, of just blessing some and cursing others just because he wants to, because he doesn't really care, he just wants to see people squirm and fight. So they get mad at God because they cannot understand why they don't have what they want or what they think they need, or why their brother or sister is dying of cancer. So they accuse him. Worse still is mocking, is the mocking of Christ and his means of salvation. That because he is so gracious and mild and persistent, but does not drag anyone into the vineyard, into the life of Christ, that's seen as weak. Well, if you really wanted to save everyone, you would just do it. But that he actually offers and freely gives this and does not desire slaves and does not want anyone to be dragged in. He wants sons and daughters. He wants them to trust him because only life is found in him. Don't mistake grace and mercy for weakness. But that is what we do quite often. We hit that snooze button on repentance, on changing our ways, because we think we have time, or that God doesn't actually see, or that it isn't that big of a deal. We hit the snooze button because we hear no fire coming from heaven. We hear no clangs of a jail door opening up for us. So we think, what's the rush? But still, into this irritating group of workers that are standing idle, you and me, our Lord is persistent. He continues to call, and he continues to bless with temporal good things. Why would he do that? To those who think that they get it by themselves, because he wants to. Because he is good and kind. Because he wants us to recognize that all life comes from him. All good things, both here and in the hereafter, are by his free and good choice. And it is for the taking. It is laid out in front of us. There is nothing that can take away that sure and certain fact that whether you have good things now or bad things now, there is one thing for certain, that the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin and that you have eternal life, not by your own work, but because he wants you to. And that can never be taken away from you. In the name of Jesus, amen.